We began a study concerning forgiveness two Lord's days ago, and we began with this: God is willing to forgive us of our sins if we submit to His will. And the cost of our salvation, of course, was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Last Lord's Day, we studied as Christians, we are to be ready to forgive others who sin against us as they repent. And a key to our study was we learn forgiveness from God's example of forgiving us of our sins. And we began looking at Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 15, as there are three interacting events which relate very well to our subject of forgiveness. And so we started with the first event being where Jesus gave instructions on what to do in His coming church if a brother sins against another brother, as the verb trespass, of course, is referring to sin. So now we're ready to pick back up with the second interacting event here in Matthew 18, and that would begin with verse 20. And we'll do that in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And if we'll remember the initials, PFE, as we keep reminding, that helps us to keep in mind what we need to be doing every day. Now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as, of course, we're studying God's precious Word in our Bible classes. As we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, according to John 4:24, that is, having a proper attitude, but also following the pattern that God has given us in the New Testament. I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Now, something else to mention. If you would like to have a Bible study together, we look forward to those opportunities. Also, we have Bible correspondence courses available, and we're always appreciative of Bible questions you may have and your comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, one very important announcement. Our gospel meeting is fast approaching. September the 12th through the 14th. Our meeting times, Friday night, 7 p.m., Saturday night, 7 p.m., Sunday morning, 9:30, 10:30, then a wonderful potluck lunch, and closing out the meeting with a 1 p.m. service. Our speaker, Brother Donnie Vick from the Shelbyville Road Church of Christ in Indianapolis, a very fine congregation of the Lord's Church. And Donnie is an excellent preacher, has a wonderful family, and his theme, The Bible in Me. And that will preach. And we look forward to hearing Brother Donnie shuck the corn and put it out where the calves can get it. Now let's get to our study this morning as we're continuing in Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to pick up with verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Well, notice the answer that Jesus gave here in verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Well, the Lord gave a definite number here, did he not? 490. Well, let's notice a lesson here. And that would be, well, Peter, yes, he had learned from what Jesus had just talked about in giving forgiveness, and of course, what to do if a brother trespassed against another brother in the church. This is relating to brethren. And so Peter learned from that, and he thought he was being more generous in his willingness to forgive a brother who sinned against him seven times. But he learned that the Lord's way is higher than his way. Well, this relates to Isaiah 55, 8, and 9, does it not? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, let's trust God, since he knows everything, and we do not. What a great lesson that is. But let's go on. Lesson two. Jesus taught his followers to forgive their brother every time he repents. As he gave a definite number, yes, of 490 times, to represent an unlimited number, here in verse 22. So the question for us is, are we true followers of Christ when it comes to forgiving a brother who has repented of his sins? And of course, this includes sisters. As you would understand, we're talking about brethren. That's inclusive of men and women both in the church. All Christians, in other words. Now, as we're to be willing to forgive in accordance to God's will. So Jesus is saying, if there is repentance. So we keep that in mind. Now, let's go on to lesson three. If the offending brother does not desire forgiveness and refuses to repent, we are unable to forgive him, since God's justice is unable to forgive such a sinner. Now, in Luke 17, notice 3 and 4, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So the condition here is if they repent. Yes, the one who has sinned against us. Now, that the responsibility then would be, of course, to forgive as the Lord has taught us. And as God forgives one who obeys the gospel, one who has gone astray, who is in the church but becomes unfaithful. They need, of course, to repent and confess their sins before God and turn from them and receive forgiveness. So there's stipulation, you see. As God forgives us, as we forgive others, there's the stipulation of their repenting. And that's what a lot of people are not understanding. Now, notice on the cross, as our Lord was, of course, dying for our sins, he said in his prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots below him. Well, those who repented and obeyed the gospel on the day of Pentecost or after that were forgiven of their sins. Acts 2:36 through 41. Yes, they that gladly received the word were baptized, and they were added unto them about 3,000 souls on that great day. The church began there in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. But let's go on. Lesson 4. The church needs to be united in helping an erring brother to repent, especially if withdrawing fellowship is necessary. Well, note back in verse 19 and 20, again I say unto you that if two of you shall be agreed on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them as my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Well, we need to appreciate the power of united prayer. Certainly there is power there. And that's a great lesson in itself. The Lord teaches another lesson as we go on now to the third event, and this is the Lord's parable of the unmerciful servant. And we'll pick up here with verse 23. And so let's notice carefully the unmerciful servant as Jesus is giving this parable to teach us concerning forgiveness. Starting out with verse 23. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants? And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. What a contrast here. Well, there's many lessons to be learned. Let's start out with this one. The kingdom of heaven and the near future Church of Christ are the same organization. Now, I want to prove that by Scripture. Daniel, as we know, interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream as he was given that ability by God. And he revealed in the days of the Roman kings, or Caesars, as they were called, notice, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed? Now this is Daniel 2:44. So keep that in mind. The kingdom shall never be destroyed is going to be set up in the days of the Roman kings. John the Immerser. Now this is during the days of the Roman kings, who was the forerunner to Christ. What did he preach? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3:2. Jesus himself. Repent ye. This is what Jesus preached. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:7. And afterwards Jesus stated, I will build my church. And he was saying this to the apostles, and he said, I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 16:18-19. And after the resurrection of Christ on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, as we referred to a moment ago, the apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They received the power. They were immersed in the Holy Spirit's power and began to speak in languages that they'd never studied, as Jesus had promised them, Acts 1:8. You see this in Acts 2, verse 4. And the Holy Spirit gave the apostles power that they were able to remember all that Jesus taught them, to be inspired as they wrote the books of the New Testament, as they preached the Word of God. They were able to pass on 9 miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit by the laying on of their hands, as you see in Acts 8:14-17. Peter and John were called to Samaria to do just that. And you see how Jesus had promised them that they would be with remembrance of all that they had, as Jesus had taught them. They would remember all that. John 14:26, chapter 16, verse 13. So the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, came and enabled them to do just that. They were guided in all truth, not some truth, but all truth, and having that remembrance of all that Jesus taught them. Therefore, we should see the keys of the kingdom of heaven were now put to use by preaching the precious gospel of Christ. They were added to the Lord's church by the Lord himself, Acts 2:47. As you go to Colossians 1:13, you see that they were translated into his kingdom, the dear kingdom of his Son, that is the church of Christ. Now, we should conclude this, should we not? Well, of course. Are we faithful servants, subjects in the Lord's kingdom, which is the church of Christ? Well, let's be sure. If we're not sure, let's go to the scriptures and learn what God would have us to do to become a child of his and be a member of the body of Christ, which of course is the church of Christ. But let's go on. Lesson 2. As we noted this parable of the unmerciful servant, the certain king who takes into account his servants represents whom? God. God, of course, to whom all sinners must give an account, as we know in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Now this is verse 23 in the parable. And the servant in debt to the certain king here represents all sinners who are in debt to God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, do I, Bob Hawkins, understand that I am accountable unto God? Well, we all need to do that, do we not? Romans 14:12, so then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Jesus warned, be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:28. Now let's go on to lesson 3. You see here in verse 24, 10,000 talents. That was an impossible debt for the servant to repay. We're talking about millions of dollars here in the first century. And this, just as we're all accountable souls, we can never repay God for our debts of sin. Of course not. Matthew 6:12, you'll note, this was in the model prayer that Jesus gave in the Sermon on the Mount. Notice, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So we need to know that and practice it, of course. And so, as we're seeing here, the creation God has blessed us with includes what? Food, clothing, shelter, our abilities to work, and the health that we have, everything that we may take for granted. But we all should get the point. How can we repay God for our very lives? Well, lesson 4. The king had the servants, this servant whose debt could not be possibly paid, as we've seen. He had him brought before him, and he commanded him to be sold. Not just him, but his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. Verse 25. Well, under the law of Moses, the selling of men into servitude for debt was tolerated. Leviticus 25:39-47, 2 Kings 4:1. But the point here is no one can possibly repay God for the enormous debt of sin every sinner has on account. Now, trying to compare being sold into servitude with eternal punishment is a waste of one's time. That's just not comparable, is it? We all should understand that. But let's go on. Lesson 5. Realizing he's at the mercy of the king, the indebted servant now, with a worshipful attitude, humbles himself and pleads for mercy before the king. Verse 26. Well, all sinners are deserving of eternal punishment in the fires of hell, but thankfully, God will have mercy upon us if we do what? If we humble ourselves as a little child and obey the gospel of Christ. Matthew 18:1-6, Acts 2:41, as we mentioned before, we have to gladly receive the word be humble as a child and open up our minds to the truth and obey it, as they did on the day of Pentecost and all the other conversions in the book of Acts. Draw near unto God, and He will draw nigh unto us, James 4:8. But let's go on. Lesson 6 here. As we'll note, the indebted servant made a promise that he could never fulfill, which was a failure, really, on his part to realize the hopelessness of his ability to repay his debt to the king. He needed to understand, I can never repay this. But he said he would pay it back, didn't he? Yes, that's what he said. In verse 26, I will pay thee all. But he could not do that. Now, here's the lesson. Many people living in sin try to postpone their having to give an account for their sins by thinking that God will give them the time to make amends for their sins. Is that not the case with some? While others try to hide their sins, well, we know that's the case. Thus, being deceived, they go about trying to establish their own righteousness. And notice what leads people to go about trying to establish their own righteousness. Romans 10:3, for being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Speaking of the Jews that didn't obey the gospel. Well, let's go on. Lesson 7. And the Lord of that servant, being moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. Verse 27. God shows mercy. And in this parable, the king showed mercy and grace by not giving the indebted servant what he deserved and giving him what he did not deserve. Of course, God's love for all sinners needs to be seen in this parable. Let's look hard at this parable and understand what is being referred to. God's willingness to forgive us of the greatest debt anyone could owe is being represented in the Lord's parable. What a relief this servant must have felt. Well, how did we feel when we came out of the watery grave of baptism? I know how I felt, and I cried like a baby because I had many sins that were washed away by the blood of Christ. What a relief it was. You know, that's dear to me. Well, it should be to all of us if we've obeyed the gospel, realizing our debt of sin has been forgiven by the cleansing blood of Christ. But it took our obedience to the gospel of Christ, receiving God's grace by responding to the gospel. Romans 6, 3-6. You'll want to study that. So let's never, never, never take our salvation for granted. But let's go on. Lesson 8. This debt of the servant being released of the merciful king was immediately. He went out. And what did he do? Immediately after he was forgiven of his debt by the merciful king, he went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 shillings. And he laid hold on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay what thou owest me, verse 28. What is our reaction to such a heartless lack of compassion and such a cruel act committed by a man who was forgiven of an impossible debt to repay? 28-30. Now, here is a vital lesson of our study. Yes, God has called us to forgive. And if I, as a member of the Lord's church, refuse to forgive anyone who has repented of his sin, trespass against me, as all sin is against God, thus I become the unmerciful servant, just like we've studied. Does anyone want to be like that unmerciful servant that took his fellow servant and grabbed him by the throat and, pay me what thou owest me? And he had just been forgiven such a great debt that he couldn't ever repay. Lesson 9. This unmerciful servant's forgiveness of his enormous debt was conditional on his willingness to forgive his fellow servant, just as our forgiveness in the Church of Christ is conditional on our desiring and readiness to forgive others who sin against us as they repent. Now that's the condition. Again, notice verse 35, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." What's going to happen to us if we refuse to forgive? The same thing that happened to this unmerciful servant. You see, the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, verse 34, "and till he should pay all that was due unto him." And then you have verse 35, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses." Do we not all agree that this man deserved the severe punishment that he received? What punishment do unforgiving members of the Lord's church, the Church of Christ, deserve on the day of judgment? Would be the same, would it not? Our Lord and Savior gives us the very clear answer. There it is, verse 35. Now, this unmerciful servant would never repay his debt. Thus he remained in torment. And all who die in their sins include brethren who refuse to forgive from the heart. They're going to remain a debtor unto God. After the death of unforgiving souls, they're delivered into the place of torment in the Hadean realm to await the day of judgment, Luke 16:19-31. Let's be sure that we're not like the unforgiving servant, the unmerciful servant, but let's learn these great lessons as we've studied together. If we're not a member of the Lord's church, why are we putting that off? Becoming a child of God, having our sins forgiven by the blood of Christ as we obey the gospel, we stand ready to assist anyone in submitting to the will of God. We stay with the Bible. Let's follow the scriptures. We have to hear the truth. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Then we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. That motivates us. That's John 8:24. Now we're ready to repent, to get out of sin. That's the condition for God forgiving us in obedience. Once we repent of our sins, Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, saying, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God," before others. Having done that, we're ready to be immersed, buried into a watery grave. This is baptism, where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. As Ananias told Saul, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord," Acts 22:16. We thank you so very much for listening today.